Our Lord is praying to his Father for his apostles, his disciples, because he is leaving the world. He's going to the Father, and he's leaving his apostles in the world, in the midst of wolves, really in the midst of wolves and in their weaknesses, although they're going to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit, and they're going to become very strong and lions and courageous and go throughout the world withstanding death and sufferings and all that. But still, they're in the world, and it's a dangerous place, and so our Lord had to pray for them. He prayed for them while he was here on earth, and certainly in heaven to his Father. And so there's this emphasis on the world, and that it is a dangerous place to be. We have dangers to our eternal salvation, and we are in a pilgrimage to eternal life, and we need to be able to see the dangers, which are all, most of them are invisible, the principalities and powers, and Satan, the flesh, and the devil. We have these invisible, or we can feel them, I suppose, the cravings of the flesh that can drag us down and pull us down and make us selfish and make us want to commit sin and do evil and focus on ourselves, and where we can really be our worst enemy, even worse than the devil, our body, our flesh, our cravings, our desires. So we have to keep that in mind, but also keep in mind that Satan is very tricky. He's always trying to do things little by little, pulling us in. We won't even see it. He's like that snake in the grass, ready to get us. And we have to be really vigilant, really careful. And so our Lord has given us weapons to fight with in this battle, these dangers that are serious. We're not here to enjoy ourselves. That's the business of heaven, enjoying ourselves in heaven, which will be forever. We'll have plenty of that. Here, we're called to fight, to work, to love, to serve. That's what we're called to do in this world. We're not called to live a Hollywood life, watching television and the internet and seeing all this glitter and joy and happiness and artificial beauty, and we're not called to that. And yet so many people watch television for 8, 10, 12 more hours a day and filling their minds with this counterfeit philosophy of life, which is you live once and you live for the world, enjoy yourself, put your heart into this world and strive for pleasures and enjoyments and money and wealth and all this. That's living for this world. We are called to do the opposite. That's all for the next life, and it'll be far beyond this world, and pleasures and joys far beyond, and we have to believe and hope and trust in that. And of course, that's that hope and trust and the promise of Jesus is what sustains us through this life. But so we're not called to set our hearts on the enjoyments of this world, though the enjoyments of this world are to be taken in moderation. In moderation, we have to remember that. We're not here to spend all our time thinking about how I'm supposed to enjoy my entire life, my entire day. We take it in moderation, and we set our sights on God's will, what my duties are, what I must commit myself to, and be ready for the cross, be ready for difficulties, and embrace them and expect them, and even want to carry the cross, to love the cross. That's the way of a Christian. That's the example that Jesus and Our Lady gave us and all the saints. If we don't do that, then we will live in the culture of death. The culture of self-indulgence is the culture of death, and it kills many things. It kills people, kills the unborn, it kills the the aged, because we don't want to have children and be burdened by children. We don't want to have large families and be crimped of my desires for ambition and wealth. And we don't want a wife or a husband that is going to be an annoyance to me after years, and so I won't be faithful, and I'll kill my marriage. I'll kill my friendship if my friends or their faults are too evident to me. I will kill whatever gets in my path of my pleasures. I will kill it, and I will live the culture of death, and that's what we are living in today, a culture of death, a culture of self-indulgence, and that's because we don't want to carry the cross. We won't accept the cross. We won't accept difficulties. We want to enjoy ourselves all the time. And yet, that's not what life is all about. That's not what Jesus has set the example for. That's not the kind of life that God has made for us after the fall. We are called to work, and that's the only way we'll be happy. Working, mortifying ourselves, even carrying the cross out of joy for love of God and in our neighbor, we will find joy and happiness in that, not in self-indulgence and in the passions and in my selfishness. We are called to live for the next world, and in this world we have to be above the world. We have to be above the passions, above what we get from television and the internet and the philosophy of the world. We have to be above all that. We have to be living in the Spirit, living in the strength of God, and to carry the weapons that our Lord has given to us. Humility. There was a saint that saw the world covered with demons, and so full of demons that the sun wouldn't shine through them, and he was wondering how anybody could escape the dangers of the temptations and the efforts the demons exert to destroy us. And then he heard the word humility. It is humility that will make us succeed and make us conquer and make us victorious over them. We need humility. We need love. We need the love of God, and we need to have that deep and strong in our heart, that love that will make us do anything for God, that will make us strong. We need to fight in this world. We need to be ready that people will tempt us, that people will try to lead us into evil, that Satan will come and try to lead us into sin, and we have to fight. We can't just fold our hands and stay in church just sit back and hope that everything will be well. What is that saying? That evil will prevail if only good men do nothing. We can't just do nothing and just even pray. Certainly, those are called to do that in contemplative life. They're called to do that, and prayer is powerful and more powerful than action. But many of us are called to do action too, and we must fight. We must resist. We must be involved in the world, in the political era. We must speak up. We must resist. We must fight. Fight is a virtue. But flight too, fight and flight, they both go together. We need to fly away from the occasions of sin in this world. We need to take serious all the dangers of this world and not mitigate them, not say it's only a little bit bad and, you know, it's not too bad, and so I will expose myself to it. We need to want perfection, want to be immaculate, and fly when we know we are weak, fly from temptations, and we need to stay close to Our Lady. She is the one to enlighten us and protect us. We need to stay within her and praying to her continually, always being devoted to her, making that consecration which we renew. And when we are consecrated to Our Lady, she takes us in a special way under her protection. And as long as we don't act positively renounce that, she will always watch over us, but we have to continue to renew our love and our dedication to her and to her weapons she's given to us, the scapular and the miraculous medal, the Holy Rosary, and to live for her, to serve her, and to be committed. And, many of us commit ourselves to a religious life, and we need to be committed and faithful to that. Even those who are religious or those who are married and live family life, so many have left to go to the world, and they're not faithful to their vows of marriage or to religious life because they want the entertainments and the joys and the get rid of all the difficulties of married or religious life, because they have forgotten the cross, they have forgotten heaven, they have forgotten the promises of our Lord, they have forgotten how to live well in marriage and in religious life. When we live well our vows, our commitments, then we will always be happy. We'll always be happy if we live well and depend on the strength and help of God. And in marriage we have family life, children, and they are a protection. Husbands and wives are a protection to each other. They call each other into account. They check each other. And children are a check on parents too. And parents are a check on children. And we all help each other to live a holy life, to sanctify each other, and to protect each other through this pilgrimage of dangers to the end of our life. And religious life certainly does that as well. We have the schedule, we have prayer, we have our vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience to counteract those desires for pride and the pleasures of the flesh and our own will, which leads us into so many dangers of selfishness and pride. And so we use what we can to be committed, to live a life of commitment to our Lord, commitment to our brothers and sisters, commitment to our duty to be faithful. We always have that branded in our mind, commitment and faithfulness to God, to doing His will, and set His will before our mind as our purpose in life, not entertainments and enjoyments, which again are to be taken in moderation, to balance off the duties and the fatigue and things that we have to do for God. And so let us entrust all of these intentions and worries that can be there, entrust it all to Our Lady and ask her to continue to guide us, enlighten us, and help us to be faithful and to persevere to the end.
Fructum ventris tuum.